So that you can start saving now. I just think it would be beneficial for all of us to contribute $100 on the first Sunday of October to our building fund. Amen. I think that we doing an assessment and the requirements, but we'll have a special envelope so you can start saving. Now, each one of us, if each one of us, they claim we have over some 1,000 members, we can raise $100,000 to pay down the mortgage on this building. Amen. We already know we need to build bathrooms closer to the choir stand. Right. And listen to me carefully. This is practical theology. All right. Practical theology. We need bathrooms that are closer to the choir stand. All right. If we have over 1,000 members, everybody get $100 in the month of October, we have $100,000 that we will pay down on this mortgage. Amen. People want to know when we build. We build when we pay this off, okay? And so you can assist us. That's just don't get your nails done. Go out to eat. Lord Jesus, don't go to no movie theater. That's $50 right there. Get your cousin's Netflix password. I need you to save $100 for the church. We have to do nothing for the pastor, but we need this for the church. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you can help God with that and help our church with that, go ahead and give God the promise that you think you can do that. Amen? Luke chapter 15. We've been here, yes, we have. How many of you all were in revival? How many of you all got here? Got into this chapter. I have been blessed. I mean, listen, you know, I just cannot tell you how I've been blessed in life. Greatest of everything. I ain't done nothing. Just the greatest of everything. Met two presidents. Was a water boy for the greatest coach in the history, I think, of college basketball. Had a preaching mentor by the name of Dr. William Augustus Jones. Now I've got another mentor by the name of Dr. Tillis Chapman. I just latch on and hold on because I know you're going to be a blessing in my life. And I thank God for him. He does 32 revivals a year. They're 52 weeks in a year. He is on the road 32 weeks out of the 52. That's how in demand that he is. Okay, y'all? So I just want to put a little bit in perspective of what we've been blessed with over the last 3 nights at the Brooklyn Church. He preached from this text on Thursday night. And as I have told y'all before, I know a lot of conversations happened after last Sunday. And before I go any further, let's give the Holy Ghost praise for what happened last Sunday. I know my spirit church. Amen. Sometimes that's just how God works. But you've got to be obedient to what God tells you to do. But I've also have instructed you. I know from Texas and conversations, and a lot of you all had some conversations last week after church. You should have that every Sunday after church. We might get to this point maybe one day when we get a little bit bigger, a little bit more organized and stronger. But a lot of churches now have care groups and life teams where after, don't do Bible study, but what they do is they go to people's houses after Wednesday and Tuesday nights after the sermon, and just about 10 people discuss the sermon, how you can apply it to your life. That's the new thing, the new frontier. Conversations happened after last Sunday, but my point is, it is very important that after Sunday, after you take your nap, go back and read what we just talked about, amen? But not only go back and read what we just talked about, if you really, really, really want to be in this word, read the chapter before and read the chapter afterwards, so you can put the whole thing again in spiritual context. So after he preached on Thursday night, kept on reading, read the rest of the story, and I pray that you allow me to tell you the rest of the story. Luke 15, 24 through 32. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now that's where he stopped. He stopped right there. He preached from the subject, let's have a party. Stop right there and then say, let's have a party. Now, if you were anywhere within 10 miles of Brooklyn Baptist Church West, we had a party. God, I want to thank y'all for them two claps you gave him for the party, but here's the rest of the story. Now, his eldest son was in the field, and he came and drew nigh to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered, saying to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid. Now, a kid is a baby. Oh, okay, some of y'all country. Some of y'all fair. Some of y'all thinking, why are you trying to get the boy a child? No. And he answered, saying to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. In other words, you ain't never had no party for me and my boys. But as soon as this thy son was come, which doth devour thy living with harlots, which are prostitutes, thou hast killed him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Go back to 28, baby. Before tomorrow. And he was angry, somebody say angry, and would not go in. And he was angry and would not go in. Now, I want to talk about the other brother. From celebration to hateration. Now, I want to talk about the other brother. From celebration to hateration. We solicit your prayers. If you're not too stingy, let's have another party. Again, my big brother, Dr. Tillis Chapman, on Thursday night, preached about the party. He preached Thursday about the son who was given his inheritance before his father died. This boy, men like our children, want everything now and earlier than thou. I'm not allowed to talk about my family in public, so the little girl that lives with me asked us the other day for a cell phone. Don't get mad at her. It's coming your way. Because she saw another little girl her age with a cell phone. And so what happens is, parents don't all parent alike, and our children see what other parents do, and then our children come to our home with these crazy ideas. And she'll get a cell phone when she graduates from college. And so this son gets all of his inheritance, which means all the money that is due to him after a parent dies, before the parent dies. There's so much, Ron, in there. I don't know if I have enough time during this Labor Day weekend to go over. But did he wish his daddy was dead? Or was he just that stingy? But for some reason, the father gave him that which was due to him after his death, and he gave him as his inheritance before he died. Now, my brothers and my sisters, you need to know a little bit more about Palestinian culture and agrarian culture, as Dr. Chapman said. Because he's the baby boy, he really didn't get much in this culture. In this culture, everything went to the oldest son, whether you were a girl born first or not. The oldest child got everything, and then he decided what y'all got. He decided what the rest of the children got. And so when we think about thinking, we're thinking this boy got Rolls Royces and Bentleys and that he stayed at the Ritz-Carlton. He probably didn't get a lot, but that which he got, he wasted it. He wasted it. And one thing is we know that he wasted it on harlots and prostitutes. I ain't going to deal with that today. Y'all ain't old enough, amen. But he ran out of money and became embarrassed. And he goes back to home because he has no money to live off of, no food to eat, no shelter to cover his head, and no more clean clothes on his back. But when his father saw him a long way off, he ran out and hugged his child. The reason why Dr. Chapman says he hugged him and put his arms around him was because in this society, a child that went AWOL could be stoned to death. Principals, Bobby, y'all can't even spank no more. But in this culture, they would be stoned to death for being disobedient. And so he covers his child so nobody would kill his child. And then he says, put a robe over him to cover him. Put a ring on his finger and killed the biggest cow we got. Let's make some cheeseburgers. For this, my son was dead and is now alive. And the Bible says they began to be merry. Ain't no wine mentioned in the text, but if they're going to be merry, they had a few cups. And so they're having this party. There's music. The band is playing. The DJ is mixing. And the other brother, who is the oldest child, is out in the field. And they tell him, your younger brother is back home. And your dad is throwing him a party. And he got upset. The five things I want you to see in this pericope, which is this body of text, and then we'll be on our way. But first of all, there's this realization. There's this realization of the baby boy. There's this realization. The baby boy realized he done messed up. He done messed up. Number one, he done got stuff too early that he's not ready to handle. And understand our children. And we've got to do a better job understanding our children because, you know, sometimes your 13-year-old might be ready for a cell phone before your 16-year-old. Your 16-year-old might be ready for a car before your 18-year-old. And every child is different. And so he realizes that he done messed up. The father realizes that he done messed up. And the best word here in this entire text, I didn't read it here, but you go read it when you get back home, is that the Bible says he came to himself. My brothers and my sisters, you can't make any changes in your life for the better of your life until you come to yourself. I don't care how many doctors have told you you need to lose weight. I don't care how many doctors told you how you got high blood pressure. You need to watch your salt intake. I don't care how many therapists have told you what your 1 through 12 steps are. I don't care how many people have told you what changes you need to make in your life. Until you come to yourself, you will not make any better changes for your life. You can read all the self-help books you want. You can watch Joel Osteen 24 hours, 7 days a week. But until you come to yourself, and realize you've got to make changes for you, and nothing going to change in your life. And after this realization was there was this contemplation. The contemplation is that in the text is what I'm going to say to my daddy to get back in the house. I done some things in my life, but I ain't never been kicked out the house. Been fired 3 times. I never been kicked out the house. But there are a few little witnesses up in here, up in here, up in here. You ain't got to be a witness. Sit on your hands. Fold your mouth so we don't know. There been a few little children that done been kicked out the house. And I think a couple of months ago you read on the news that one family divorced themselves of their child and kicked him out the house. And so there's this contemplation, Erica. What am I going to tell my daddy? Not I done wrecked the car. Not I done stayed out over curfew. Not I done got somebody pregnant or I done dropped out of school. How am I going to get back to the house and have my father forgive me? For I have embarrassed him and our family's name. So he comes up with this scheme in his head. Well, may I just tell him that I have sinned before God and before thee, and I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Just make me a servant. Read the word for yourself. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. I transgressed you. I know I have upset you. I know I have denied you. I know I have disgraced the family name because everybody know I'm out there hoeing. Make me one of thy hired servants. But the contemplation and the scheme. Woo! Make my own self happy this morning. Why, we sometimes out there scheming. God is figuring this thing out. And so you got to understand, you ain't got to manipulate no pieces when your heart's right. Come on now, somebody. Some of y'all done cut the puzzle pieces to fit in. You ain't got to cut the puzzle people when your heart is right. You ain't got to cut nothing, manipulate nothing, maneuver nothing. When God has something for you, and forgiveness is for everyone. And if people can't forgive you, you need to keep it moving. Because when Jesus was on that cross, before he could say the 6 last words, the first thing he said was, Father, forgive me. Forgive them, rather. Father, forgive them. Forgiveness gets you back. In any door. That's a word for somebody here. Before you try to explain yourself, before you try to tell your side of the story, before you try to make it right, the first thing you got to tell somebody is, I'm sorry. And I mean real forgiveness. And a new conversation will begin. Somebody here who needs to ask somebody this afternoon before you take your Sunday nap for forgiveness, for that misunderstanding. And because his heart was right, because he realized he had come to himself. See, when he came to himself, he realized he had messed up. And so you can't change nothing until you realize you have messed up and that it's your fault and stop blaming other people.
And because the Spirit understood his heart, the Spirit moved on his father's heart. And the Spirit moved on his father's heart that when my boy returns, I'm going to have a party for him. How you know that, preacher? Because he's been fattening up the cow. Get ready, the calf I've been preparing for this day. See, God, God preparing something for you right now. Maybe you got everything on this side. Anybody got some stuff you need on this side? God preparing stuff for you right now. Y'all want to come give it again? Anybody need something? Anybody need something on this side? He getting it ready for you right now. But your heart got to be right. So this contemplation leads to this celebration. And here's the celebration. Put a robe on him. As Dr. Chapman said, cover up his smell. Cover up his dirt. Cover up his wrongdoing. Cover up his shame. Cover up in sin. And I know I'm not the only one that got some skeletons in the closet, skeletons on the front door, skeletons on the front porch, skeletons on the back porch, where you have done some wrong, but ain't nobody know but you and God. Y'all ain't gonna be real today. I can sit on down. But anybody know they've been covered in the blood? Anybody know some stuff about you that ain't nobody else know but you? I don't care if you stole a paperclip off your job. You still stole. Maybe I need a Pentecostal church up in here. But I know I've been covered in the blood. And then he says, put a ring on his finger. That ring symbolizes family. This ring that I wear is green and gold. It's the colors of our funeral home. It's got a big old L on the front. Leave is on each side. When any employee of Leave His Funeral Home has been with us for 10 years, they get this ring. You stay another 5 years, you get a 1-carat diamond. You stay another 5 years, you get another 1-carat diamond. You stay up to 25 years, you get another 1-carat diamond. They're not my employees. They are my family. And that is what that ring in here symbolizes. Y'all ain't got this at the law firm. Come on, work for the funeral home, Byron. I don't know how many more years you got. That's what that ring in the text symbolizes, that we are now family. I ain't gonna make you my son a servant. You are my child. And because you are my child, you can always come back home. I need a witness up in here that you fought straight away from the father's house. You've done some things you should not have done, but you always got hopefully a mama. Daddy might be a little tough, but every time I got fired, my mama got my job back. Amen. So because I am family. But this celebration led to some hateration. Hateration ain't in the dictionary. It's a Jesse Jackson word. It's in the Ebonics dictionary. The celebration led to some hateration. The older brother said, I ain't coming to the party. Matter of fact, not only am I not coming to the party, I am angry. I am upset. And I realized, Eric and Ron, that hateration is an STD. See, you one of them people that tell the story, but you've been in the Holy Ghost. That's how you know the story. Hateration is an STD. It ain't a sexually transmitted disease. It's a spiritually transmitted disease. And a whole lot of people have been infected hanging around the wrong people, Celicia, talking to the wrong people, Betty, hanging out with the wrong people, Ron, going to the wrong parties for, and they done got an STD called hateration where they cannot celebrate with nobody else. Oh, help me. See, y'all ain't ready because you hate us. You hate us already. You mad you ain't got the car they got. You ain't got the job they got. You ain't got the man they got. You ain't got the wife. You better be happy you ain't got the wife they got. You don't know what they're going through when they get home. Some people are playing the funk right up here right now. They ain't happy. They just come to church together and sleep in twin beds and separate rooms when they get home. But you think everything is all right on their side and you hating on them because you ain't got what they got. But I have been delivered by people who hate. Him, as a matter of fact, if you ain't got nobody to hate, the spiritual theologian, comedian, Cat Williams, said, you can hate on me. Because I know God's been good to me, and all of his blessings have come from him. And that's why I give him the praise, because they didn't come from my daddy. They didn't come from my mama. They don't come from your tithes and my offering. All my blessings come from the Lord. So if you mad at me for what I drive, what I wear, what I look like, be mad at God. Don't be mad at me. That's why I got delivered, because you ain't mad at me, you mad at him, because I ain't do nothing. But be obedient to his word, be obedient to his will. When he said preach, I preach. When he said go, I went. So hate on me if you got to hate on somebody. It is a spiritually transmitted disease where you cannot celebrate what God has done for somebody else. Courtney, congratulations. I ain't gonna tell everybody, but I seen it myself. Welcome to the club, girl. You got a good husband. You can tell them what you got for your birthday later. But as soon as he showed me the picture, I said, let's have a party. Celebrate what others have done in their lives. Celebrate others' accomplishments. Because as the old preacher said, if the blessings are at your house, that means God in the neighborhood. And he coming like the ice cream truck. I said the ice cream truck come around to everybody's house. Just listen to the bells. It's coming, and run find a dollar from your mama so you can give a blessing. Hateration. This older boy, I'm going to keep it a little longer. This older boy was upset. He mad. He said, Daddy, you ain't never thrown me a party. That's why I'm nice to George. My older brother, but he also a lawyer. I don't know what he doing with the money. I don't know what accounts he done moved. I won't know what's coming to me till he tells me what's coming to me. And I got to have faith that he telling me the truth. And for that reason, Carlos, I'm trying to get it all now. So I ain't got to wait till mama and daddy die. But I keep George happy. See, I control the money at the funeral home. I sign the checks at the funeral home. Whatever you need, brother, I got you, buddy. Because I got to keep George happy. Because he going to control it all one day. And if the wheel ain't right, I might be out of job. But this older brother got mad and wouldn't come to the party because he said, Daddy, you ain't never thrown me no party. This boy done been out drinking and hoeing and partying and done spent all this money, and now you gonna give him a party when I've been with you every day working out in this field, fattening the calf, feeding the calf, watering the wall, milking the cow so that he can enjoy it. I ain't coming to the party. Like our children, ungrateful. You need to remind your children every day, you wake them up, they done had a party. Every day you feed them in the morning, they done had a party. Every day you put clothes on their back, they done had a party. Every day you deal with this traffic up here in Northeast, getting them to school, they done had a party. Every day
sitting in 1 hour line trying to pick them up after school. They done had a party. Every time you take them from activity to activity to activity to activity to activity to activity, they done had a party. Every time you go to one of them boring recitals and have to sit through volleyball practice, they done had a party. Every time you pay for that cell phone bill, they done had a party. Every time you let them get on an iPad that you done bought, I'm trying for you to catch up. They done had a party. So anytime your child complains, remind them every day you got roof over your head. Every day you got food on the table. Every day you ain't got to go through no soup kitchen. Every day you get to use that cell phone and it ain't never been cut off. I done thrown you a party. Getting the party. Some of us don't even realize that every day that you wake up with breath in your body, God done thrown you your own personal party. Well, I don't know how you feel about it right now, but I get excited every time I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. And I learned to celebrate my neighbor's success. I know y'all don't like to do it, but tell your neighbor your success is my success. I said your success is my success, and my success is your success. We all this thing together, and I'm gonna celebrate what God has done for you. For this realization led to the contemplation. The contemplation led to the celebration. The celebration led to some hateration. But at the end of the story, I said at the end of the story, there was a presentation. I wish I had one of you Baptist folks that to help the preacher preach this morning, because I feel my help really coming on right now. There was a realization. There was some contemplation. It led to the hateration. But then there was a presentation. That good father in the text told that older boy that was hating on his younger brother, don't you realize, because you are the older brother, everything is already yours. Your text when you get home, you'll see it right there. I think in verse 31, 32, all of this is already yours. I don't got no believers up in here, Erica. All of this is already yours, because you're my oldest boy, and everything I got one day is gonna come to you. I just gave your brother a little piece of the pie, but the whole pie. This Sunday morning, that everything that the Lord has belongs to you, for the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and everybody that's a child of God is also an inheritor of the promise, that everything he's got for me, he's got for you, but you just got to believe it in order to receive it. You got to give God praise, and when the praises go up, the blessings you'll come down. Maybe you missed what your pastor just told you. When the praises go up, 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 yeah, the blessing. They've got to come on down. I said they got to come on down. They got to come on down. Anybody standing in need of a blessing right now, don't fool me. Don't fool the Lord. But I need God to come through right now. I need him in my family. I need him on my job. I need him in my school. Let me tell you one last thing. Let me tell you one last thing. As you know, sit down. As you know, stand on up.
Everybody should be standing up and announce. The part of this preacher done preach. Oh, you're so stingy. Let me tell you what happened last week. My good friend O'Neill Swanson had the Queen of Soul's body. O'Neill Swanson might be in his upper 90s, but he's still running his funeral home called Swanson's Funeral Home in Detroit, Michigan. O'Neill is the patriarch of all black undertakers. He arguably is one of the most famous undertakers in America. He done buried everybody famous. Everybody from Motown he done buried. So doing a funeral like Aretha's is commonplace for O'Neill Swanson. But O'Neill Swanson invited other black undertakers to come work the funeral. People who ain't never going to be on TV. People who ain't never going to do an interview. People who ain't never going to be on the cover of no magazine. O'Neill allowed other undertakers to come in as honorary pallbearers. Not only did he do that when they had Sister Aretha at the Duables Museum for 2 days while the line stretched for miles and miles and miles and miles. O'Neill had a special door for all other brothers in the undertaking fraternity to go through a side door to visit Aretha. Said his other brothers in the funeral ministry didn't have to wait in line to see the Queen of Soul. He had a side door for the other undertakers to skip the line. They didn't have to wait to see the Queen. They got to skip the line because they were his brothers. Tell you in case you ain't figured it out yet. All of us got another brother. His name ain't O'Neill Swanson. Anybody know his name? I say, anybody know his name? I say, anybody know his name? Anybody know his name? And my other brother will not be at the side door, but he's going to be at one gate. And I don't care what gate it might be. I heard there's three gates in the east, three gates in the west, three gates in the north, and three gates in the south. And one of these days, when the battle down here is over, my other brother be at that door. Waiting to bring me on in. And not to see the Queen, but to see the King. I said, not to see the Queen, but to see the King. And I'm going to fall on my face and join that cherubim choir and them seraphim singers.